Are we on?
We're on.
Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the podcast that celebrates all things comic culture.
That's a good way of saying it.
Yeah, that's the way we're going to say it today. I'm Walter DeRaglio.
Oh, and I'm Chris Owen.
Oh, and he's Chris Owen.
Yep, that's
and,
me.
And we gather here every week to talk the culture of comic books. And this week, Chris, the topic we're going to broach, is it breach or broach?
Broach?
Isn't broach that thing you smoke like when you do
it? Well, broach is also... No, that's a roach.
That's a roach.
A broach is something that women wear.
Oh, that's... See?
Right.
Now we are getting somewhere.
Now we are getting somewhere. Now, hold on. But there's also... We can approach the subject.
We can approach it. We can also it. Address the subject.
We can address the subject.
Hello, subject. what is the subject?
What we were thinking about talking about tonight was, it's still the beginning of the 2021 year.
Fresh.
Well,
fresh,
fairly fresh.
New. Yep.
And we thought we would talk about where we see trends going, if at all, if anything's going to change, and really just kind of opinions of what 2021 will bring in new year.
Now, if you're any kind of comic book or pop culture investor, you'll want to get your notepad out. And take notes. Because if anybody knows and see if has a crystal ball on exactly what's going to happen, it's Chris and I.
Well, they don't call it a crystal ball because for nothing, right?
You know, Chris, I'm just going to ignore that one.
As you probably should.
Yes, I should, yeah. So 2021, Chris. I mean, 2020 was obviously a super eventful year. It was a year that none of us expected, not... And I don't mean, obviously, with the coronavirus coming through and disrupting the whole worldwide. I meant, like, post-coronavirus, we all had expectations on what, you know, the comic book industry and the comic book market would look like. And it pretty well looks the exact opposite of what we all thought it would look like.
Right.
So going into 2021, all I can say is this is a seller's market for back-issue comic book collectibles.
Sure
would you
is.
Agree?
Absolutely. It sure is, yeah.
So do you see that carrying through the year?
Absolutely. I think that I think there have been I don't want to say a resurgence, but look, a couple of years ago, and it wasn't that long ago, that the back issue market was pretty much dead.
Right.
Other than the keys always sell.
Yep.
But people filling runs, people looking at covers, people just wanted to buy things because of nostalgia. That stuff didn't really happen a few years ago. Whereas now it seems to be the driving force of the market right now.
Yeah.
Everything and everything seems to be selling. You know, always the keys are going to sell. But, you know, let's be honest. You know, in your $2 bins, the $2 bins are selling.
Yeah.
You know, like there's all kinds of stuff that's selling out there that I didn't think would ever sell.
Yep.
Mainly from the 80s. 80s and 90s seems to be selling really well.
Yeah. So I would say also, like, definitely the biggest surprise of 2020 is the strength of comics from these O's and the 10s.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like this modern market.
Well, it's, and you know what? It's funny. There's a bunch of different things going on there because there's a modern market for regular issues. Say people filling in their Batman run.
Mm-hmm.
There's a modern market for minor keys.
Yep.
You know, not necessarily first appearances, but like maybe secondary appearances or first reveals, like the reveal of certain characters is, you know, I think of like the Red Hood, the reveal of that is now worth big money.
Yeah.
And all the stories around that. But also, of course, variant comics are still huge, which surprises me to this day. You know, I think it must be the scarcity of those variants that keep it going.
Okay, I'm gonna throw something at you.
Okay,
we've touched on this before, but we'll touch on it from this angle because this thing I think likes to be touched.
Oh, okay.
And who doesn't really?
Who doesn't?
Yeah. So. We've talked about the disconnect between generational collectors, like old fuddy-duddies, hipsters like me and you, and the young crowd.
Yeah.
Notice how I didn't include us in
the I liked how you called us the hipsters.
Hipsters,
yeah,
right.
That's good.
And I'm just kind of anybody over 55, anybody from 30 to 55 and anybody under 30.
Right.
Just a macro thing. I think what we might be missing because we're in that second group. Don't tell anybody that I'm in the first.
Okay.
We're in that second group. We might be missing the fact that for the newer generation, they're creating their own mythoses. They're creating their own hierarchy of importances.
Yeah.
To these people, and they are going to be the dominant collecting group. I don't think they give a rat's ass about guys like Green Lantern or heaven forbid, I don't think they give a rat's ass about guys like maybe even the Punisher.
Right. Yeah.
But what's that Star Wars character's name? Yep. Keep Kodo. What the heck is that?
What, Mandalorian?
Yeah. What's that one that everybody went?
Ahsoka Tano?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
What'd I say?
Upkeep Kono.
Oh, Upkeep Kono. No. What was it?
Ahsoka Tano.
Ahsoka Tano. Yeah. Right. So Ahsoka Tano, Miles Morales, these are going to be the most important, not just those two, obviously, but I'm talking about things that were introduced in the last 20 years that maybe you and I were already, these for a young kid on that old cliche, right?
Yeah.
10 years from now, you know, they're going to be the most important characters in popular culture.
They could be, right?
And they're not necessarily going to be, like I said, Green Lantern. It's not necessarily going to be Ghost Rider.
No, it's going to be whatever these people are, these newer characters, what either that they're growing up with or that they've been introduced while they've been an avid collector.
I see 2021 sorting more of that out. Sifting through the last 20 years. And I think it's going to depend on all the streaming services and the movie houses deciding what directions to take their properties in the new TV shows, in the new films. What are these characters? Because what they're doing right now, Kristen, you know it. They're mining through that canon.
Oh, yeah.
And they're making decisions that, oh, man, this character was really good. Let's make her or him or it important.
Yeah,
this character also is really good. Let's, you know, do this. I think that's happening right now. It's a process.
Right.
I don't think it's played out yet. I think 2021 will be a continuation of the play out. But then 2022, you know, it'll continue over the next couple of years is my point.
I think it will. But, you know, if only we had crystal balls because.
Mm-hmm. Crystal balls?
Crystal balls. For, mm-hmm. One for each of us.
Right.
Right. So because what's. What's important to remember here is that with the myriad of different types of comics out there, like we have graphic novels that are, you know, one-offs. We have horror comics. We have Star Wars and science fiction comics and all that kind of stuff. All it takes is, you know, a license to go out to the public for a movie or a TV show. And all of a sudden that series takes off and that first appearance takes off.
Right.
I mean, how many times have you and I said, even just on a writing basis, you know, hey, that character is just one Alan Moore story away from being great.
We've made
comments like that before where this is the same thing now applied to economics.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the most active part of that back issue market in 2021 will be that segment.
Right.
Will be the last 20 years.
Sure, absolutely.
That'll be the most active part. And the thing is, and I've watched it, Chris, $2,000.
What about it? Are you offering me
$2,000 is the overnight price point.
Right.
$2,000, what's it called? Yeah, keep...
Ahsoka Tano.
Ahsoka Tano. Ahsoka Tano blew up and 9/8 hovered around $2,000.
Right.
From, you know, very little to $2,000.
Right.
Miles Morales lit up from 9/8, went up to about $2,000.
Yeah.
I think they're back down to about $1,000 or something now. But $2,000 seems to be there aren't enough graded at 9/8 because not everybody has sent them down yet. I want a copy right now. I'm impatient to wait.
Right.
I have to spend $2,000.
Right.
Right. Now, this is what I've noticed in my travels.
Okay.
Okay. So There's the Band-Aid, not the Band-Aid. What do you think of that thing that stretches?
Stretch Armstrong?
You know, you put it on your
bandage. Bandage.
No.
Tensor bandage.
Elastic band.
Elastic band.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Elastic band. So what
happened? I like Stretch Armstrong personally, but you know what?
I do like Stretch Armstrong too. He's very impressive. and popular at parties.
Boy, is he ever.
So something hits Kano. Kano, did I get it right?
Ahsoka Tano.
Ahsoka Tano.
Yeah.
I soak a Tano.
What do you soak? What's a Tano? What
oh
do you
my
soak?
Goodness. We got a call coming in to correct me.
Call coming in. Yeah. We have to pause that. Ahsoka Tano.
Ahsoka Tano is an example. So what happens is that book blows up. And like most of these, this is what happens. This is the sequence of stuff that happens.
Okay.
The book goes to $2,000.
Yeah.
$2,200, doesn't matter. Everybody goes crazy and they send their stuff down because, oh my God, my copy's worth money.
Right.
So they send it down to CGC and within, let's say, a 9 month, within the year.
Yeah.
Because some people are late to send it down. Within the year, your population on the CGC census quintuples,
easily,
if not more.
Easily,
goes
yeah.
from 15 copies to 75
yep,
or 100.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So what happens then is the price drops to $800.
Right.
Okay? So then one of two things happens after that, Chris.
Yeah.
If the character has legs.
Yeah.
And Ahsoka Tano has legs.
She has legs.
If the character has legs, elastic band effect comes. The price comes back.
Right.
And it shoots past the original price.
Right.
I'll give you a few examples.
Okay.
Hulk 181, Wolverine.
Yeah.
When the first 9/8s were coming out, they were getting $20,000 in like 03, 04.
Right.
By 08, 09, they were down to $7,000, $8,000.
Right.
Because everybody sent theirs in.
Right.
Right. Well, then, you know, everybody blew their wad.
Yeah.
So most of the ones are getting... So then it starts tipping.
Yeah.
So at that point, supply is outstripping demand.
Right.
But then brand new 9/8s slow down because that rush to get them down.
Yeah.
But the attrition of the increase in demand from a character like Wolverine, who's
yep.
such a staple,
yep.
continues to grow and grow and grow until the tipping point is where demand now is past supply again.
Right.
And now that book is worth $35,000.
Right.
Okay. I'll give you another one. It's even more blatant. New Mutants 98.
Yeah.
First Deadpool.
Yeah.
First ones were worth over $1,000.
Right.
And then they became like water.
Right.
Like literally
right.
thousands of 9/8s.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it dropped to around $600
or okay.
something like that. But, you know, and then once everybody sent theirs in and there's just a trickle coming in again.
Yeah.
It's Deadpool.
Right.
He's
still around.
It's infinite. And yep. just little by little, demand keeps going up until it tips back to demand outstripping supply. And that book now is past $1,000.
Okay, yeah.
So, but I think it's dependent on the character because I'll give you another example. X-Men 94.
Right.
When the first four or five 9/8s came around, that book was around $26,000,
$28,000. Right.
Right? And then everybody sent theirs in, and then it fell to about $10,000.
Right.
Well, no, nobody really is sending it in anymore, but the book has kind of climbed back up to about $15,000.
Right.
So it hasn't gained
that
the
momentum.
Whole thing back. And my point is the book doesn't give you enough.
No.
It's basically the launch of a title.
Right.
It's not the first appearance of major characters.
Right.
Right? It's the second appearance or third appearance of major characters.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So a book like that hasn't rebounded past that kind of initial, I need it and so I'll overpay for it, because it doesn't have the legs and the longevity of being able to hold the demand because the character is so important.
Right.
And I'm sure I can come up with characters that kind of ended
sure.
up being duds.
Yep.
Same thing happened
yep,
to.
Yep.
You know, when they come up, they shoot to $2,000 and
yep.
then there's a ton of them and it's $800, but the character goes nowhere. So now it's like
so nobody cares.
$700,
yep, yep.
right? So you need that.
Or even with characters that people thought were going to go somewhere and then didn't.
And then didn't.
Right? Like, right. So, like, the resurgence of certain characters that, you know, hey, like, I don't know. For example, you know, Peter Porker was in the Into the Spider-Verse.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
So everybody was buying up Marvel Tales, A-I-L-S, for a long time because that was the first appearance.
Right.
And then... because everybody thought, well, this character's coming back. It's going to be, you know, a new series, blah, 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 blah. Yep. And then wah, wah, wah.
Nothing, exactly.
Nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So if you're playing that I need it now 9-8 game,
yeah,
you will be overpaying relative to what you'll be paying 9 months from now.
Right.
But you may not be overpaying relative to what you're going to be paying 4 years from now if that character sticks.
Right.
Is the lesson.
And now, well,
that's the lesson in economics.
That's just the thing now, isn't it?
Yeah.
To see whether or not that character sticks.
That's the name of the game.
That's the name of the game.
That's where the crystal balls come in.
Right. Crystal balls.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think Star Wars characters...
Look, you know, I know what you're going to say.
They have a good chance.
Let's not forget what happened 20 years ago. You know, in 1985, you couldn't give Star Wars comics away.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm not saying it's, you know, it's going to be like that. But everything it could tank. There could be, you know, sometimes when there's too much of a good thing published, people become weary of it. You know, so I mean, I think the market's different now. I don't think it's going to happen. But
right.
You never know.
Right.
Right. That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough. Well, okay, going back to 2020, though, Chris, what I think was good about 2020, what impressed me the most about 2020's price increases was that was done without the added benefit of public awareness of big movies.
Right, right.
Because the 8 years prior, book run-ups were dependent on, hey, you know, Jamie Foxx is playing Electro in Spider-Man.
Right,
you know,
right.
Spidey 9 shoots up.
Yeah.
Hey, the collector is going to be in the Avengers movie or
yeah.
Captain America movie. I forget which movie it was.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy movie. So Avengers 28 shoots up.
Yeah.
Right? There wasn't that in 2020. There were no big movie releases.
No.
They were all sidelined because of COVID.
Right.
And
but,
yet the old keys kept shooting up.
Right. But you know, but we also, so we had old keys shooting up, but at the same time we had... you know, shows like The Mandalorian show up in 2020, which now had like, you know, has a huge following. And now we've got other characters popping up. And so I think there's even though there wasn't a big Marvel or DC movie that came out in the theaters.
Well, up until 2019, Chris, there was roughly six a year. There
Right.
may be four Marvels and two DCs.
Right.
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 Yeah.
Yeah.
So, hey, in the original Wonder Woman movies,
yeah,
had Cheetah made an appearance?
No.
See that? I mean that book's already huge. That's Wonder Woman 6.
Yeah.
But I would imagine if they made a Cheetah villain, that book would even go even higher. But it's unaffordable as of right now.
Yeah, anyway. I mean a character like something like that, it's already a moot point because even though Cheetah was in 1984, Wonder Woman 1984, I mean it's already such a huge book that
but maybe those 1970s Wonder Woman covers with Cheetah.
Right. Yeah,
those are the ones
up.
To get.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Now the thing is though, here's the thing. When it comes to a character like the Cheetah, I prefer the Catgirl outfit as opposed to the full-on feral kind of cat woman. Do you know what I mean? Because I think so. Well, in the comics, she reverted. She used to have like a cat suit,
right?
Right, like a costume,
right?
Well, and then later on in the comics, she became like more
an actual cat. Yeah, I don't like that either.
Right? So
I know why you like the cat suit.
Why is that?
We're not going to get into that. Right
okay,
now.
It's probably a good thing.
It's
yeah,
prime time show.
Prime time.
So I think maybe the what's surplus, like you touched on it though, the streaming services and the TV shows, that's kind of been the announcements for speculators. It's like
okay,
it's like what's coming in the. I'll give you another example.
Okay.
What I found out about this is I forget what it is now. I'll remember, but it doesn't matter. Point is there's no theatrical releases, But the streaming services are putting up series.
Right.
And the series are going to be introducing characters that were in the old comics.
Right.
And that is driving up value.
Right.
Right.
But here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Movies and TV shows, like you touched on, aren't the only thing that's driving value these days in comics.
Right.
Right? Because okay. you mentioned the fact that there was no movies. There were some TV shows, but there's no movies.
Yep.
So what is it that's driving the value these days then, other than, like, I mean, why is it that all of a sudden something from the 1980s or 90s becomes valuable again, or even the early 2000s?
Yeah, good point. Some of it's covers, right? Some of it's like you rediscover a great old cover. Some of it is, I remember a guy called me, old time collector from Toronto area. Says, Walt, I'm happy. I just convinced CGC to recognize Our Army at War, which is a late 50s book,
yeah.
number 88,
yeah.
as the first Sergeant Rock cover.
Oh, okay.
See, it never was. Like that prototype, because there was a few prototypes. So for Sergeant Rock, everybody settled in on Our Army at War 83 as kind of the de facto one to have.
Right.
Even though there were a couple of other ones that were almost as major because they were, it's gray area.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Well, nobody knew, but number 88, for some reason now, the book's been there all along.
Yeah.
But for some reason now, it's been proven by some mechanism, that is the first Sergeant Rock cover.
Interesting.
Right.
Interesting.
So he sent his down and he got the first CGC label back that says first Sergeant Rock cover.
Interesting.
All the other CGC number 88s, which there probably isn't that many of them, maybe 50 of them, 40 of them, people send them down as collectors, but it was never seen as a key.
Right.
But now that book's going to be seen as a key.
Sure.
Right? So there's another kind of discovery. Little things like that are still happening.
Yeah, but those are few and far between.
I guess. Yeah. I guess.
Yeah. Right? I'm thinking, like, what is it about, you know, the new... What is the early 20s collector collecting? You know, and I have...
First appearances. They're specking on every single first appearance.
Okay,
but... That's what they're doing.
Maybe, like, of newer stuff. But, I mean, okay, you know, unless they're... a millionaire. I mean, I was in my 20s. When I was in my 20s, I couldn't afford a first appearance of Spider-Man back then, let alone now.
Okay, but they're focusing on books coming out in 05, 2012, even 2017. And I think that they're going through, Chris, what you and I were lucky enough to go through in the 80s and 90s and was be able to amass keys at prices that were affordable based on our pay scale.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah.
So to them, they're picking up this key for $200, this key for $80, this key. They're having the time of their life,
right.
collecting and amassing this over the last 25 years pool of key issues and key characters and characters that have a future in their mind and stuff like that.
Yep.
And they're able to do it aggressively because, you know, unless something really hits and goes to that $2,000 plateau, like you and I discussed earlier, you're picking this stuff up anywhere. I'm saying anywhere from $10 to $500.
Right.
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 And I think for most people, that's doable.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what the average 20-year-old has these days. I mean, $500 sounds like a lot of money to me now. Even.
Okay. But $40.
Okay. Yeah.
So, all right. So... Now, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Do movies come back this year?
I think they're going to have to.
And will there be pent-up demand? Will there be people going to the theaters to watch them?
There's people already going to the movie theaters. I think it's going to take a while for people to be comfortable with going to the theater.
Right.
I know that even though theaters, okay, right now, they're not open because we're in a current lockdown where we are. But, I mean, a few weeks ago we weren't and theaters were open to a minor extent.
Right.
In a month, they'll be open again to a minor extent.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I haven't been to a movie theater in over a year.
Right.
I miss it a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't plan on going in the next couple months because maybe I'm just a little bit more paranoid, but I don't want to.
I think you're being prudent.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But having said that... I don't think that companies like Disney can hold on to their products for too much longer without, like, they, I know Black Widow's done and ready to go,
yeah,
but they don't want to release it through a streaming service.
I know. So, well, they pulled back Dune at the last minute with 2 days to spare.
Right. Yeah. Right.
They were going to do it on that HBO Max.
Right.
And then they decided to wait till next October. But there is a danger that, okay, 10 months may not be, or even a year may not be much. But if you're waiting 2-3 years to release something.
Well, this is it, right?
The movie could be dated.
You know, well, it could be, yeah. I mean, look at, so Black Widow was supposed to come out last May.
Yeah.
You know, and it's now, okay, about 8-9 months ago.
Yeah.
Right.
So if it's coming out next September, that's, you know, a year and a half.
Right. Well, right? It's slated to come out. Well, this is the thing. It's slated to come out this coming May now.
Right.
Right. Will it? I don't know.
Yeah, it might be too early.
The same time, I'm not willing, as willing as I am to go to the movies and spend $50-$60, maybe even $100 for a night out,
uh-huh,
you know, or whatever it's going to be for a movie and maybe a drink
popcorn or whatever. With the wife, right?
Yeah. I'm not spending, there's no way I'm going to spend $30 at home to rent Wonder Woman in my living room.
Right.
Right. And, you know, it's just not worth it to me.
Right. I get it. Because that added experience of going out,
yeah.
The larger screen, the better sound system, everything.
Exactly.
The experience.
Yeah. I mean, right? I'll rent it for, you know, $6-7.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spend $30 on it.
Right.
I mean, but clearly there are people out there who do,
mm-hmm,
because it has done well so far and as a streaming service.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I mean, that is so. Okay. Let's keep jumping into the new year then. Let's go to comic book shops.
Right.
They've had it tough.
Oh, yeah.
Right now in Ontario, where we are, we're all locked down. We're closed down. So we can't sell stuff unless it's pick up at the door.
Right.
Right.
But there are some companies that do, like you say, pick up at the door or mail order.
Yeah.
And if they have their back issues online,
yeah,
they're going gangbusters.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, I know a few stores that, you know, they wish that this COVID thing would get worse because they did better during when Marvel and DC weren't printing.
Saddists. Those are those guys are.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
They did better.
Yeah. No, I understand. I understand. You have to kind of change. You have to, if the customer can't come to you, you got to bring the books to the customer.
Well, and, you know, and that's, you know, one of the buzzwords for 2020 was pivot.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of companies that were able to pivot and reconfigure their business model.
Yeah.
They're doing very well with online delivery and,
yep,
and, you know, curbside pickup and that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And we talked about it before, though. There's a lot of comic shops, though, a lot of them that, you know, are kind of week-to-week.
Oh, for sure.
Tough
for
living.
Sure.
Where the proprietor, the sole proprietor, their time is up with the customers and with the...
That's right,
you
know, yeah.
And
yeah,
they just don't have the energy or the wherewithal,
sure,
to do proactive stuff in the back room when they're,
yeah,
when they're stuck up at the counter.
Right, right.
So it's hard for everybody to do that.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
They may not even have the resources. I don't know. I'm making up a number, but it may take, you know, $3,000-$4,000 to invest into getting the time needed, some help,
yeah,
some website,
yeah, I get it,
development. And it's like, okay, well, I got to find the money to do that. And then I got to find the time to do that. And on top of that, I have to find the energy to do,
right,
that. And I'm exhausted.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
And so that's the issue with a lot of comic shops, unfortunately, right?
Right.
So I guess what I worry about as a comic shopkeep myself is like companies like DC not being there for us when we come back.
Right.
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 So I'm hearing things as I won't say far-fetched because it's not far-fetched, where DC just stops producing comics.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Heard
and
that.
They just license,
yep,
their characters to IDW or somebody like that.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yep,
Batman will be printed by IDW.
Yeah.
But then you will not, somebody like IDW will only pick Batman, Wonder,
sure,
Woman, maybe Superman,
yeah,
and maybe Teen Titans. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get any Blue Beetle comics. Or,
no.
Or not that you're getting any now, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Those.
But you might not get it. I mean, they canceled Harley Quinn.
Right.
So you might not even get a Harley Quinn,
right,
or something like that.
Yeah.
Right?
So you're going to get the top five,
yeah,
top seven.
Yeah.
But, you know, the DC lineup, the number 12th to 24th. Characters are good characters.
Yeah, goodbye Doom Patrol,
yeah,
and the Metal Men, right?
Yeah,
like
and you're not going to get that, right?
Because, yeah,
licensed publishers that are going to license your stuff. So I that's a prediction I don't want to come true in 2021 is my point.
I don't think it will, personally. I don't think it's going to happen in 2021 anyways. I don't think it's going to happen. I think, foolish or not, I just don't think it's going to happen. Right. Now, what I do think will happen is that I could see them really streamlining the volume of books that they're selling.
Right.
Right. So right. Instead of having, 52 titles, which is what they always used to brag to have, maybe they'll have 26 or 14 or something. It'll just be a smaller market.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's, as I say this, I don't know because, we've got this whole Future State line of comics coming up in I think either January or February, which is going to be now, I think it's January. I think it's already started with this Future State where they're sort of doing these sort of what's the future of the DC universe going to look like in 50 years or 40 years or whatever it is,
right?
It's hard for me to imagine that they're going to stop printing when they're trying out all these new ideas, like Future State,
All right. Okay. So I think we're on the same page there. We're cautiously optimistic, maybe then that DC holds on and helps service the brand that the current comic market.
What do you think is going to happen with the CGC market? Is that going to keep going strong?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The CGC market is the growth market. I think still, like I said though, genres and eras will change in terms of hotness.
Right.
Right. I think the last 25-year era will be very, very active with a lot of new players and a lot of mistakes being made.
Yeah.
And when mistakes being made, people overpaying and stuff. Like, it's going to be a learning ground for a lot of collectors that eventually will branch out into the bronze and into the silver and even into some gold.
Yeah, right?
So I think it's just – I think it's good. I think it's just kind of – new people entering the market that are jumping into the era that they are immersed into, but eventually will trickle down into the other eras.
Now, what about any other players in the grading market?
I can't see it.
I mean, we have CBCS.
And PGX.
And PGX.
I can't see it. I'm new to cards.
Yeah.
But I'm learning that if you want to buy a baseball card or a hockey card, PSA has to be the grade.
Right.
Right. So you can have a PSA 8 or some other grade 9.0.
Yeah, yeah.
The 8.0 PSA will get more.
Right.
So
the only other company that I thought ever did as well was the Beckett.
Right. Yeah, right? That's what I heard. Beckett as well.
But I mean, there was KSA. There was a bunch of other ones.
ACA.
Yeah, and a whole bunch. Never really took off.
Yeah, so I think the same thing with CGC. And the thing is I don't think for moderns, 9.8 last 25 years, I don't think it matters as much. A 9.8 is a 9.8.
Right.
It's, almost a flawless book. A book published 5 years ago. They're all gleaming, beautiful and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So whether CBCS gives it a 9.8 or a CGC gives it a 9.8, I don't see much of a discrepancy in terms of market price.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about... an 8.0 Amazing Fantasy 15 graded by, from personal experience, a 9.4 Tales of Suspense 39 graded by CBCS.
Yeah.
Or a 9.4 Tales of Suspense 39 graded by CGC.
Right.
You're talking about $40,000 difference.
Right, right.
That's a lot of money.
Sure.
So, you might be saving $150 on the slabbing.
Yeah, yeah,
but you
yeah.
might be cheating yourself out of $40,000 if they can both get 9.4s.
Right, right, right.
But the market doesn't trust the 9.4 from CBCS on a big book like that as much.
Right.
So they penalize it by equating the 9.2 value to it.
Right, right. Right.
Kind of. Right. So, all right, Chris, let's touch on one more thing. I think this is something that has been so, over the last 50 years, I would say, has been so pivotal to the comic book collecting marketplace and world and hobby.
Yeah.
Is cons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are they coming back? And will dealers go back to them?
Well, it's a great question, I don't know. I think they'll come back eventually. But I don't know if dealers will go back to the in droves like they were before.
They're discovering they can sell their books elsewhere.
Right.
Online.
They can sell it maybe through eBay.
Yeah.
You know. Now, granted, it's a little bit more work than throwing a few boxes on a table at a con.
Well, I don't know. You're preparing a lot. It's never been like that for us going to a con. It's been a lot of work. Logistics, right. Grading, pricing, getting ready.
You know. Well, okay, but you're one of the bigger names when it comes to some of the shows. I'm talking about a guy that maybe has a small shop and maybe buys one table.
Right.
Has, you know.
Yeah, but good luck to those guys going to somewhere like the New York Comic Con or Fan Expo where one booth's going to cost you $1,500 for the weekend.
But they do that. Like there are guys that do that where they'll buy one booth and they'll set up their original artwork but half the time those guys they're happy if they make their money back and they're just there to do it, right?
Get out of the house.
Right. Yeah. You know. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's a tricky one for 2021, trying to predict whether the con is gonna come back.
Yeah.
And because you gotta remember that's a large gathering.
Yeah.
Shoulder to shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, will cons... Okay, you know, capacity for Fan Expo in Toronto over 4 days is 135,000.
Right.
But because of city ordinances, we are going to do the capacity at 45,000
right.
over 4 days.
Yeah.
That's a third of the attendance.
Yeah, so now it's...
Are they going to cut 66% of the cost to dealers' booths? Are they going to cut 66% of the cost to hotel rooms?
Cut? I think they're going to increase it. They're going to increase the cost.
But you don't have you have 2/3 less customers coming in.
But I mean, the take at the door is going to be 2/3 less.
That's right.
So they're not going to decrease the value. They're going to increase everything.
Well, then the dealer won't go.
Well, then maybe.
That's right? My point.
I mean, I'm
that's the difficulty we have facing us,
you know,
when we're looking at the con.
We're already spending $40 a day to get into Fan Expo.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe more. I don't remember what it is, but it's around $40. You know, so if they need to make up their money somewhere, is it going to be $120, $100 to go for 1 day?
Yeah.
You know, where I can go on eBay and maybe buy $100 worth of books and not have to leave my couch.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that is... So, I mean, 2021 is shaping up to be, I'm going to say, a very kind of decisive year. Because 2020 caused the disruption.
Right.
What 2021 is going to start to show is the result of the shakeup.
Well, let me ask you this. So, you're a dealer. You know, would you do a show in 2021?
No, absolutely not. Zero. No shows in 2021 for sure.
Yeah. 2022?
I don't know.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, let's say the vaccines all work and everything goes back to normal-ish by, say, September, October.
Right.
Right? They say that, at least in Canada here, that they can have everybody vaccinated by September.
Right.
In Canada.
Yeah.
So everybody's vaccinated. You know, the virus is under control. I'm not going to say it's gone. It'll never be gone.
Yeah.
But it'll be under control in Canada. You know, do you sign up to do a show in for March or in the following July or August
of 22? Yeah, I don't know. That's right? A question I can't answer.
I don't know.
I can't answer 21.
Yeah.
It's right in front of us. We're in it.
Yeah.
And I don't see it.
Right? I mean, for those of you that are listening, you know, we're interested to find out what would you do if there was cons on right now? Would you go? Would you go to a con at all this year? If there was a con on tomorrow, would you go?
Right.
What about next year?
Yeah.
Would you set up at a con if you're a dealer?
Right.
Like, I you know, we're interested to find out what you guys think about this.
Because if you've pushed the dealers to become, you know, successful, or the store owners to become successful on eBay.
Right.
And they're getting product and they're... Because what happens usually in the old model, the con model, was this. You have a local market for your comics. Local market.
Right.
Right? So you buy a huge collection.
Yep.
And you're going to make the local collectors happy.
Right.
But there's no way that the local collectors can absorb all you're buying.
Right.
So you have the con... with all the outside of town,
right?
You know, the people from you know, 150 mile,
coming in once
250 kilometer radius coming in, you know, not your 30 kilometer or 20 mile radius that your shop relies on.
Right.
Right. And so you're able to move old books, especially if you have two or three or four cons a year.
Right.
Then those out of town buyers, they see you at the show all the time.
Right. Right. Right?
So they come and they raid your bins and they make their piles and stuff like that. Well, if you're selling everything on eBay, you're not going to have bins and piles to take to the show.
No, right? That's right.
So things got to figure themselves out, Chris. You know, things are not going back to normal.
So, okay. So I'm going to use you as an example.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, I don't think you did it as much in the last, well, not certainly not this past year, but maybe not the year before that. You used to like hoard books for cons,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but then you stopped doing that.
Yeah.
Because you knew you could sell them on eBay.
Right.
Or
that's so, about 2 years, last 2 years.
Last couple of years, yeah. right? You know,
and the last only the last two, but I've been doing shows flipping 35.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, are you doing better now with just eBay sales than
I don't know.
Like that's the thing, right? Yeah. It's hard to tell because are you selling because the volume of those great books that you're selling at the cons is so immense. It's hard to judge whether or not all those that one lump sum of con sales equals out to maybe weeks of eBay sales
or months. Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's because of volume, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just definitely know that what we have ahead of us in 2021, we have to, there's the issue of the movies, the pop culture, comic culture movies. There's the issue of the cons. There's the issue of the comic shops and people coming back into the stores and publishers like DC supporting the comic shops. There's the strong back issue market, whether it will continue. I mean, 2021 is shaping up to be a pivotal year.
Sure.
Right. And, putting on our rose colored glasses, I think everything's going to go royally.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Well, I guess, I mean,
okay. So
it'll be interesting.
I want, we'll each do one.
Okay.
One prediction.
Prediction.
One prediction only that you think is going to happen in 2021 with the comic book industry.
Okay. Why don't and you start?
You can't say something like, well, no cons, because we know that's
happening. Yeah. Okay. Why don't you start?
Okay. I think that creators' books are going to do better through alternate means. And so what do I mean by that? I mean, those books that were sort of fringe are going to become less fringe. For example, books that are being offered on sites like Kickstarter or Patreon, things like that, I think they're going to become more popular this year.
Right.
Because that's something we really didn't talk about.
Yeah.
But I think that there's a lot of creators that are getting their work out through Kickstarters and Patreon that are now only available through those.
Uh-huh.
That if you're a collector of that particular artist's work or of that particular artist's title, you can only get those through those sites. And so you sign up for Patreon, and once every 4 weeks or every 4 months, you get a new comic, and it might cost you a little bit more, but it's only available through there.
All righty. Hey, you and I should do Patreon.
We should do Patreon.
We should do Patreon.
Yeah.
I mean, we won't ask for much. Just booze money.
Yeah, just a couple bucks a month.
From all five
of our listeners.
Here's my prediction.
Okay.
Okay? The Comic Culture Podcast will bust through.
Okay.
Find its niche.
Yeah.
Explode on Patreon.
Oh, and I like that.
And be a guiding light for the comic book collecting community.
A guiding light.
Absolutely.
Wasn't that the name of a soap opera?
I think it was. Yeah.
All right, listen, I think that's all we're going to talk about for today. I think we've probably made your ears numb or something, but anyways, that's it for today.
See you next week.
Have yourself a great day.